In the next 24 hours, a ruthless terrorist will be responsible for nearly half of all the homicides in North America, half of all the people who will die on the highways, half of all the people who will be admitted to the hospital, half of all the people who will be incarcerated in jail or prison, half of all the people who will be involved in domestic violence, half of all the nation's birth defects. His chemical attacks will cause untold misery and sorrow to thousands of families. Sadly, the government is looking the other way because this terrorist is paying them hush money. Worse still, even many professed Christians are defending and harboring this cold-hearted terrorist. Who is this deadly villain who is devastating our homes and nation? Alcohol is the one responsible for all this hardship and tragedy. God wants us to have healthy, happy lives, and He has repeatedly warned us against alcoholic beverages. The Bible says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." As was mentioned in the Health and Temperance presentation on bread, when there is plenty of oxygen present, yeast consumes sugar and uses the oxygen to make carbon dioxide, gas, water, and energy. When alcohol production is desired, specific types of yeast, which are more prolific at producing alcohol, are used in a very limited oxygen environment, sealed barrels, tanks, or bottles. Under these conditions, the yeast produces ethyl alcohol, some carbon dioxide, and energy. "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is fully mixed, and He pours it out, surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down." Psalm 75, verse 8. What does "full of mixture" mean? It means that spices are mixed with the alcohol to make the wine stronger tasting and to increase the intoxicating power of the alcohol. If you are paying attention, you will notice that almost all liquid spices are sold blended in alcohol. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning with verse 29. "Who hath woe?" Here this song begins with the groans of the drinkers who has awakened to a painful reaction from a night of indulgence. Who hath contentions? Quarrels frequently arise in one of the latter stages of drunkenness. Men will fight with their best friends. Though abilities are reduced by liquor, many are still well able to inflict physical harm as well as incalculable physiological damage upon the innocent and helpless members of their families when they return home after a round of drinking. Who hath babbling? Perhaps better, complaint. Still better, concern, despair, rather than the foolish talk that marks the more genial part of the drinking bout, which translation babbling implies. This may refer to the remorse most victims of the craving for alcohol feel when they awake to the realization of their behavior. Who hath wounds without cause? That is, they are entirely unnecessary. These are suffered both by the drinkers and by their families. Who hath redness of eyes? Literally, darkness of eyes. The bloodshot eyes peering dimly at the world are part of the recovery phase. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, those who tarry long at the wine are the ones who suffer the afflictions listed in the previous verse. The longer men drink, the stronger the wine they crave, until they take to mixed wine. This is thought to be not the relatively mild drink prepared by mixing wine with water, but rather wine to which have been added spices and drugs calculated to increase its intoxicating power. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup. The Hebrew has gives its eye. This is a warning against being allured by the undeniably attractive appearance of red wine sparkling with the gaseous products of fermentation until it comes to have something of the fascination of an eye. When it moveth itself aright, literally, it goeth straight, which some interpret to mean it goeth down smoothly. If intoxicating liquor entailed exertion in its imbibing, it is probable that fewer would be deceived by it into drinking enough to impair their judgment. Tradition has attempted to surround the drinking of wine with a measure of distinction and has linked it with important occasions in family and national history. Yet wine remains as cruel and deceptive in august surroundings as it does in the hovels of poverty-stricken drunkards. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Wine is well likened to the poison of a snake. Both produce disastrous effects on the body. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Alcohol affects first the higher centers of the brain, where are seated judgment and discretion. The power of decision is slowed, and the difference between right and wrong is blurred. The drinker says things that he would never think of saying while sober, and laughs at the inanities of others as if they were the product of the choicest wit. But the intoxicated brain does not produce inanities alone. Evil thoughts and plans spring up and are often carried out by men who would never approve such wickedness when in full possession of their faculties. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, literally, heart of the sea. The picture is often taken to be that of a man trying to sleep in a world that seems to be heaving and turning like a confused sea. Some have referred it to the drug sleep that finally comes to the drinker. He sinks down into a coma, not far removed from death, with every faculty drowned in alcohol, as inert and helpless as a lifeless body floating on the waves of the sea. Or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Hebrew, chabel, a word that occurs only here. Its meaning is uncertain. If it designates the mast or the cradle where the lookout sits, it vividly pictures the sickening dizziness of the drunken and the many dangers to which he is unconsciously exposed. The Septuagint translates the second clause, and as a pilot in a great storm. The translation points to the impaired judgment of the intoxicated. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. The drunkard may be speaking to himself, or he may be replying to the chiding of a friend. He admits the quarrels, but claims that he suffered no harm. He is dimly aware of the disabilities he has suffered in the impairment of his faculties, yet he longs for the time when he will have recovered enough from his irresistible drowsiness so that he can start the process all over again. Cute? Yes. But what if you knew that one in every eight puppies would eventually, sooner or later, attack and harm the owner, a family member, or a friend of the family? That is the rate at which those who begin to drink alcohol become alcoholics. Truly, such a man is the slave of the master he has chosen. But God is able to release him from that servitude. From Romans 7, 23, verse 23 through 25, we read, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Jesus can save you from temptation or addiction to alcohol or any of many other mood-altering drugs. Give your hand, your will, to Him.